Hello and welcome to the podcast The Lotus Eaters for the 3rd of September 2021. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the Texas abortion outrage. Also, the Taliban decide to call gender studies nonce acceptance. And they're not wrong. So, it's getting harder and harder to find flaws in some of the Taliban's posts.
Well, this is pretty much the one thing we really agree with them on, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, female sexual history and why, what is it, a duty to tell it?
No, why it matters to them, to young men.
Why it matters to young men, okay.
And we're going to talk about that.
It's going to be another sermon of dadism there.
But you're going to appreciate it.
Anyway, a couple of things to mention first on the website. So the first thing to mention is an article from Hugo, The Unraveling of the Fake News Matrix. I believe this one's free. I haven't had time to read this one, so go and check it out. Also, wanted to mention the live events again. I think John told me the statistics. I'm going to get this wrong, but I think Friday is 40% sold out. Saturday is 85% sold out. Is that right? Yeah, okay, yeah. So that's the how many are sold out on each. So if you want to get tickets for them, be sure to get them before they all do
sell. There should also be quite a few interesting people in the audience on the Friday event, so it might be worth going to that one if you'd like to meet some people you've seen on TV.
I think it's also a bigger venue as well.
It is, yeah. So definitely come to the Friday one.
Yeah,
it's going to be great fun as well. We've got some great shows planned for it. We can't spoil them either, but they're going to be really good. You're going to really enjoy them.
Yeah, I've written one. I just need to do the PowerPoint now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good fun. Yeah. Talk about immigration. Anyway, moving into it, let's get into it because we've got loads of stuff, actually.
Yeah, we do.
So
Texas decided to ban abortion, and this has caused a very measured response from the left, as you can imagine, and we're going to go through it. So to begin, I'm just going to lay out my position on abortion, and I'm going to kind of punt it to a video that will be up later on lotuseats.com or on our YouTube channel, which is also called Lotus Eaters and then space dot.com. It's the alternate channel we have, in which we do sort of like formal scripted videos, because it basically revolves around the idea that I personally think, from a liberal perspective, the progressives have broken the moral compromise between the Republicans and the progressives on whether abortion should be rare. And so I'm kind of like, well, I think you get what you deserve at this point. If you decided to abandon that compromise, then why should the Republicans not also abandon it and just go full hard on their own principles? And ultimately, abortion is an evil. It's not good to abort a child. I don't know why I have to say that in the modern era, but the progressives seem to have forgotten that. So
why the compromise was good.
That's why the compromise was good.
And rare.
Exactly. So you can go check that out. I'll link it in the description of this. Anyway, so the abortion decision itself was one of the laws proposed by Texas state legislature, which was approved by the Supreme Court, because what it does, it was a 5-4 decision for the law to remain in effect, which meant that basically when a heartbeat is detected, which is about 6 weeks normally, this means that they cannot get an abortion. So you can imagine how the left... Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
I mean, we've spoken about this before. I don't really have a strong opinion on abortion, other than there's probably some period in between the conception and the end where you need to cut a line.
You're going to have to draw a line. And I think detecting a heartbeat is actually quite a logical position. It's quite a logical place to put it. If it's got a heartbeat, it's alive. And if it's alive, maybe you shouldn't just kill it for convenience. Just saying. Anyway, so this was taken very, very poorly on the left. For example, as one law professor at Case Western Reserve University said, anti-abortion legislatures are just watching what happens in Texas. And if Texas gets away with this, absolutely, they're going to start passing them all over the country. That's right. Expect abortion bans in California before the year's out.
So it's the slippery slope.
That's exactly what they're making.
They're like, this is a slippery slope.
Oh, it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be everywhere. No, it's not going to be in those insufferable progressive states that everyone's fleeing, because, you know, you're not going to allow that, are you? This is what states' rights was about, if I recall correctly. This was what the great experiment of the states was for. And I thought it was a good idea. And if Texas wants to experiment in this way, well, then that's their right, actually, isn't it?
It's kind of the point of the system as well.
It's kind of the point of the United States. But of course, the more European-minded progressive left don't like decentralization. They like centralization, which is why they're constantly trying to centralize things. Anyway, so already Texas Right to Life anti-abortion groups say that the Supreme Court's decision say that they hope to replicate the success across the nation. Wow, I can't believe activists on the anti-abortion side want that everywhere. Wow, it's almost like activists on the pro-abortion side want that everywhere as well. And it's almost like there should have been some sort of reasonable compromise made in the middle that the left have abandoned. Anyway, so I guess the question is, what was Joe Biden's opinion on this? Joe Biden being a famous Catholic. Well, we got to hear from Jen Psaki, who doesn't look rattled at all, as you can see her delivering her reply of what Joe Biden thinks. She doesn't look like she's about to have a breakdown or anything, gloriously speaking. She says, so the journalist asks, you know, why does a president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches that abortion is wrong?
It's a fair quote.
That's a really great question. And she replies with, he believes that it's a woman's right. It's a woman's body and it's her choice. I know you've never faced those choices and never been pregnant, but for a woman, it's a very difficult thing. Well, it's not difficult if it's not a choice, is it? It's actually really easy. Just saying.
It's also the woman's right to what?
Because kill her baby.
Once it's alive, it's murder. Therefore, no, it's not your right to murder. That doesn't exist. Beforehand,
agree.
When it's not alive, well, then, sure. You know, that's the argument.
Yeah. And it's actually a lot, it resonates with me a lot more, to be honest. But anyway, so yeah, Kamala Harris had her opinion on this. Last night, the Supreme Court's decision on Texas's thing dealt a significant blow to Roe versus Wade.
I just thought in my head, you know, the it's a woman's right thing? Yeah. I just realized you could use that in the Confederacy. You know, it's a state's right. It's a state right to what? To have slaves. That was the argument.
They are essentially, as you rightly point out, making the argument for slavery. It may be a significant moral wrong to end a human life, an unborn human life, but, and it's the but that always matters, isn't it?
Like it's a moral wrong to own people as slaves.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're exactly right there. And that's a great point, Callum. But anyway, she says, we will not stand by and allow our nation to go back to the days of back alley abortions. We will use every lever to defend the right to safe and legal abortion. We will fight this. That's right. It's either back alley abortions or abortion up until the point of birth, and you've got to choose one. There's nothing in between there, Kamala. There's nothing that women can do or anything like that. There's literally no other choice, and we don't want back alley abortions.
Contraception doesn't exist, nor does the Texas law allow up to 6 weeks.
Personal responsibility doesn't exist. You know, taking it right. I had unprotected sex last night. Maybe I should do something about it, like taking a morning after pill. No. That's a back alley abortion you're looking at. So we need abortion clinics on every corner. No, sorry, that's bull.
Also, anyway. You'll notice how the rare part doesn't exist there. Safe and legal abortion, full stop.
Oh, yes. And that's what the video we talked about earlier is talking about. Anyway, so what's AOC's opinion on this? AOC's opinion, of course, is not just, well, I mean, maybe there's something to talk about. No. Right. AOC is going hard on the pro-baby murdering angle, right? Now, now is not the time to feel hopeless or helpless. Now is the time to act. All across Texas, grassroots organizers have been protecting their neighbors and the right to choose. But protecting their neighbors? Oh, that was another thing I forgot to mention. Right, so the enforcement of this law will actually be allowed to be done in a civil manner. As in, if someone believes that someone else is getting an abortion after 6 weeks, they will be allowed to sue them.
What? But have I got to have a relationship with that person or just be their neighbor?
Nope. It's exactly the same rules as hate speech laws in the UK.
That's amazing.
If someone perceives, not related to the event, if someone perceives that it has happened, they can sue them.
I'm moving to Texas, just make money doing that.
I'm not even in favor of that, but it's just...
No, it's absurd.
Yeah, of course. But it's just such an amusing mirror image of what the left have done to this country that I'm just like, well, that's interesting. But yeah, so now's the time to act. They need us. We made a split page for 8 key organizations, blah, blah, right? And if you go to the next one, she says, in the last 24 hours, our supporters have raised $185,000 for Texas abortion organizations and made 100,000 checking calls to Ida flood victims in our New York City district, because there's a flood going on in New York at the moment. So you just wonder, well, why couldn't you have done that for, say, homelessness? Like, this could have been done any time. If you can just raise this kind of money out of the ground.
Specifically, your mother.
Yeah, well,
who was homeless for a period.
Oof. That's below the belt. Anyway.
She did it.
That's true. Let this be your sign. Find an organizing community, roll up your sleeves, and get to work. That's weird. It sounds like she personally is going to be aborting babies, doesn't it? If we get to the next one, John.
Like, God.
It's not even legal in Texas now, love, but just calm down. We've got a lot of babies to abort here. We're going to have to get to work.
Me personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
But this is the thing. This weird zealotry for the ability to murder children is just...
Because that's the thing. Like, I would have always laughed at the position, you know, we heard Republicans back in the day being like, they're all baby murderers, and I mean,
you'd be like, that's not. They're acting in good faith. They're women who are struggling, blah, blah. And then you get this kind of zealotry.
And arguing that it should be up to the point of birth.
Yeah. And for no other reason, just because they want it. Just no particular medical reason or, you know, it doesn't even have to have a family circumstance. Yeah. I just feel like it.
Stab, stab, stab.
Shout your abortion. And what was the thing on Comedy Central?
If you want an abortion, get one.
Oh, God. That was the thing. I was just like, yeah, you know what? This was a mistake, right? This was a mistake. Anyway, moving on after AOC is up to her arms in dead baby parts. Ayanna Pressley.
This is awful.
It is awful, but this is what they're doing. This is what they are doing, right? They're not approaching this with any kind of dignity or humility for the understanding that what they're arguing for is the ending of a human life that's not even born, can't have done anything wrong.
No.
The baby has done nothing wrong. Like, and they're like, yeah, kill it.
90s Dems didn't come up with this kind of...
No. And if they had, it would never have gone this far, right? And if... Exactly. They have used the 90s Dems as their kind of shield and snuck in. And now the 90s Dems are obsolete. Right, we're right at the front. Kill babies. I'm not having it. It's disgusting. The attitude is disgusting. They are bad people and they should feel like bad people when you're talking to them, right? Anyway, so Ayanna Pressley. Our liberty, our humanity, and our bodily autonomy are not up for debate. Right. If you can't abort a baby, you're not a human.
I'm hearing the slave owner again, man. Our liberty, humanity, and our bodily autonomy. This is my property.
It really is. How is it different? Right?
Good.
That's the thing. So literally, if she can't own slaves, she's not a human. That's where she's at. If she can't abort a baby, she's not even a human. Right?
Am I even an American?
Yeah, exactly. She's going to start making the argument for states' rights in any second now, right? So the next one is Congresswoman Primala Jayapal, right? Who just tweeted out, abortion care is health care? But the assumption under that means that, therefore, pregnancy is a disease. Getting pregnant is a disease if abortion is healthcare.
We're not calling it abortion care.
Well, they are now.
Come on, we're not describing abortion as a care. I mean, I know there's extreme circumstances.
Snip. We're going to get rid of that. It's very caring.
There's
it's awful.
The minority of positions where the mother's life is in danger or rape or incest. But that's,
I agree.
Come on.
Yeah, when it comes... I still totally agree with that. It's like, when it comes down to medical necessity...
I think Texas law also still allows that.
It may well. I've seen them complaining that it doesn't.
I find that highly unlikely.
When it comes down to medical necessity, I can completely understand that being a thing, because it's not a moral choice, right? You're not failing as a human being by making bad decisions, having sex with someone unprotected, and then being like, well, at least I can just clean up this mess with a blender. You know, I'm not having it. It's really, really awful, right? And the thing is, this woman has had an abortion, right? So New York Times tweeted out an article of her talking about her abortion from 2018, right? And it's amazing, right? So she had a son called Janak, who, when he was born, was 1 pound, 14 ounces, which is very, very light, very, very young, right? And so against all odds, he survived. Fantastic. And then some years later, she met a wonderful man who's now her husband, and she wanted more children, but in numerous conversations with doctors, she was told that any future pregnancy would also be high risk and could result in a birth similar to Janak's. Now, Janak was fine, so it's not too much of a threat there, I suppose. And so they took precautions, but in the end, she did fall pregnant. And so she says, it was excruciating. I wanted children, but I wasn't ready, nor was I fully recovered. I was so grateful that Janak survived, but I could not tempt fate again. I could not simply hope for the best. I had the decision based on the tremendous risks that had been clearly laid out for me. I decided I could not responsibly have a baby. It was a heartbreaking decision, but the only one I was capable of making. So there's a risk that my baby won't survive the pregnancy, so I'll abort it. That's her position.
How late was she pregnant?
She doesn't say.
That's so interesting.
I don't know. But it's just like, what a solution to the problem. There's a chance your kid might die. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have no moral respect for any of these women. Like, if they were making the 90s liberal arguments, I'd be like, yeah, okay, fair points. But they're not.
They want to treat this like it's, you know, getting rid of a used car.
Yeah. I mean, do you know, like, I'm sure that her baby, were it given the opportunity to weigh in on this, would be like, you know, I'd rather risk it. I'd rather take the risk of not surviving than being killed, if that's okay, you know, just because you're slightly worried that, I mean, and don't get me wrong, right? And I'm speaking as a man who has, whose wife has had two miscarriages, right? I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. It's very difficult. But guaranteeing that the child doesn't survive is probably not as good as taking the risk that it might, especially as it previously has worked for you.
I want to make that point as well, which is if we can understand why a miscarriage is something to be, you know.
Well, yeah, well, no. Okay. You got to go watch our other video. Okay. That will be up at about 4 or 5 o'clock. Anyway, so Washington Post, not taking this well. Texas abortion law is a nightmare for women and a warning to the nation. Did you forget that Texas women are in favor of it? Did you forget that Texas women don't like abortion because they're Christians? Did you realize that not all women are Californians?
Yeah.
They're not all like weird degenerates who don't care about children at all. Some of them actually really like children. Some of them really hate the idea of abortion. They're called Christians, actually. And maybe the Americans need to start thinking about which road they've taken. Would it actually be better to be a Christian country or this? Anyway, I love the way that they frame this. Again, total on suicide watch, practically, right? The Texas abortion scheme has all the elements of today's MAGA Republican Party. Good, right? The contempt for women's right to control their lives. Sorry, no one's saying that you can't control who you allow between your legs. No one's saying that, right? The problem is there are consequences to these things, aren't there? Encouragement of their followers to harass those who reject their ideological directives. Oh, really? Cowardly evasion of legal processes and gross hypocrisy. Wow, you sound like you're complaining that the MAGA group are fighting like the left. That's your problem, isn't it? They're acting like leftists, and you hate it because you're losing.
Well, acting as in, you know, doing some of the same things.
Playing politics in the same way that the left is playing politics and has been playing politics for at least the last decade.
Because usually there are some things beyond the pale as in actions, and left's done all them, and the right are like, well, okay, if that's the new battle game, well, we'll do them too.
Yeah, and now the right's starting to win. As to the latter, it's the same state in which Republican Governor Greg Abbott prohibited school districts and blah, 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 something else. All right, so Democrats in 2022 must argue that Republicans would do to the entire country what they have done to Texas, hamper life-saving mandates for vaccines and masks, harass and endanger women. Yes, I'm sure that's what they're going to frame it as. And of course, suppress the vote. Yeah, yeah. All these
like Trump's going to be at the clinic with a sign or something.
Christian mothers are going to be like, yeah, we're going to oppress women. No, and hampering life-saving mandates for vaccines and masks, harass and endanger women. Of course, suppress the vote to make it harder to throw them out of office. Yes, that's right. If we can't abort babies up until the point of birth, then you're suppressing the vote. Very sane, very sensible. You clearly weren't furiously typing this as all the panic chemicals are running through your brain or anything.
Surely it's the opposite.
Yes.
If you abort all the babies, then they don't have the vote.
That's true. And if you override the what appear to be democratic desires of the Christian people of Texas, men and women.
But also if you disproportionately do this in areas with certain communities that majority vote Democrat.
Well, we're not going to bring Margaret Sanger into this right now. We can talk about her another time.
Right.
But she wasn't very progressive. Anyway. So, the main complaint is the Republicans are fighting like Democrats. And also, the easy rejoinder to this for any Republican who's watching is just states' rights. You don't have to do this in California. Don't have to do this in New York. We're not mandating it anywhere. It's where people want to ban abortion in places like Alabama and, you know, various other sort of like the central and southern states where they're heavily Christian and they think abortion is a moral evil, if you can even remember such a thing, leftists.
But it's the same thing with universal healthcare. Like if leftists want to argue for that, okay, do it on one state and then expand it.
Yeah, do state healthcare. There's nothing wrong with that. But instead, they have to have everyone doing it. And that's why they're like, oh my God, the Republicans can do this everywhere. Why? Because if we had our way, we'd do it everywhere. That's what it is. And so the Republicans can easily say, well, this is just for the Republican states. You can, in your Democrat states, you can have all of these moral abominations taking place on every street corner if you want. It's not our problem because you're disgusting. Don't be surprised, though, when we put up a wall and refuse Californians entry into our state. Anyway, moving on. So Chris Cuomo had a great tweet here. I love this, right? This is a tweet from Carlos Chatman, who says, if a fetus, and this is where they're like, oh, now we're going to get clever about it. Watch my law professor at Washington Lee University. Watch my big brain try and crack holes in your argument. It's like, yeah, okay, watch this. She says, if a fetus is a person that's 6 weeks pregnant, is that when the child support starts? Is that also when you can't deport the mother if she's carrying a U.S. citizen? Because, of course, America has birthright citizenship. Can I insure a six-week fetus and collect if I miscarry? Just figuring out if we're going there, we should go all in. How about Chad, yes?
Yeah, what's wrong with any of that?
Exactly. Right, the first thing is that we can just say yes to all of that and be like, okay, well then, fine. Because they're going to be marginal cases. There are going to be so few of those that actually occur that it's not going to be worth even talking about, right? But she's trying to crack a break in the logic. But even then, right, no one said that that was the thing. Like, is that when she says, you know, is it a person at 6 weeks? We're not talking about whether it's a person. We're talking about whether it's a human. Because person is a social category to which we ascribe to things. For example, we kind of think of our dogs as people. They're part of the family. They have a particular position in the family. We personalize them. We treat them as if they have emotions and thoughts and feelings, and because they do. They're good boys. And this is why Biden leaving a bunch of dogs in the hands of the Taliban was such an abominable thing to do on his own right. Right. And so it's not about whether they're a person, because that implies a sort of social relationship. Obviously, you don't have a social relationship with a fetus. The question is whether it's human. So we're not talking about the personhood of these things. We're talking about whether it's human, and it is human, and why we shouldn't just kill humans out of convenience. But so we've got multiple ways of just absolutely washing this argument. It's such a weak argument. And the funny thing as well, because the next one, this is great, right? So scroll up? Oh no, this is a reply to Chris Cuomo, right? And so you can see to this one, right? This is a Rachel Maddow statement. If they make abortions illegal, then they should make it illegal for men to desert women after getting them pregnant. If women can't back out of pregnancies, men shouldn't be able to either. Wow, that's conservative. She's just invented the shotgun wedding. That is gold. Absolute gold. They have come to the deeply Republican conservative position. Well, if women can't back out, then men can't. Chad, okay. Yes. Yeah, again, yes. Oh. This is, you get what you deserve, you know. Like, sorry, but like, if we're coming full circle to this, that's fine, you know. Anyway, next one is, of course, men shouldn't be making laws about women's bodies. Just repeat it over and over, because that makes it true. And Jack Posobiec had the best rejoinder to this. This is true. We can get that. Men can pass abortion bans because we can get pregnant too. Tell us we're wrong. Tell us we're wrong. Get what you deserve. You did this. You made the male pregnant emoji, not the Republicans, not the right, none of us. Not, no, you brought this in. Yeah. And so now, because I can potentially get pregnant as a man and men can get pregnant, I now get to morally legislate on abortion. So thank you, leftists. Did this to yourselves. Anyway, the next one was a fantastic one. So if we can get up Joy Reid's tweet quickly, just so I can read it out, because I've messed up my notes because I'm an idiot. The tweet that Ash is replying to, yeah. So
Joy Reid's tweet.
No, Joy Reid. Yeah, the tweet that she's replying to there. Just so I can't see it properly. Oh, no, I think I can. Right. So No, it's all right. You don't have to do anything. It says Texas is basically a small Soviet republic at this point, with neighbors spying on neighbors, hoping to collect a cash bounty in addition to being an apartheid state for non-white voters.
What?
Jesus Christ! Right.
What?
What woman or person of color could possibly feel safe there, say nothing of the gun proliferation? Again, doesn't understand the Republican mindset at all.
Keep you safe, you idiot.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And I love the way they think that women don't want to feel safe because they're actually defended. But imagine thinking that women feel safe in New York.
Mm. You can't get a handgun license to hold.
Exactly.
John Stossel demonstrated this.
Imagine wanting to be safe in thinking you're safe in New York not in a Republican
state. The one company that is doing the most for people of color and women's safety is Smith & Wesson, probably.
Is Smith & Wesson.
Oh, Smith & Wesson. Sorry.
Anyway, Ash Sarkar's amazing response to this was, the Soviets legalized abortion in 1920, didn't you know? That's terrible. And they didn't just legalize abortion, like, there was no contingencies on it. It was just flat. You can just get abortions. And so it's just, right, okay, that's awful. And the next one as well is a great point. Abortion is legal for the first 12 weeks in Catholic Ireland and in later stages where the women's health is threatened. GOP Texas restricts abortion more than Catholic Ireland. Vote straight Democrat ticket to keep abortion safe and legal in the US. Well, that's a great condemnation of Ireland, isn't it? Really, Catholic Ireland. You're going to be upstaged by the Texans. Really? They're virtually a blue state at this point and they're kicking your ass. What are you going to do about it? Nothing, that's what. Come on, prove me wrong. Anyway. So the next one, I love this. I posted. So I've got a new Facebook page. Go follow me on Facebook. It's Carl Benjamin. I figure that not appropriate to continue using the Sargon page. Anyway, so this is great, right? Get on birth control now. any form that was reliable. Oral contraceptives, NuvaRing, Norplant, IUD, something, now. That was always allowed.
Like the Jerry meme.
Literally, the Jerry. That was always allowed. In fact, that was preferable. That was always preferable to murdering a baby. I don't know why I have to say that. But that was always fine, right? And you have so many options. There are so many different options for women. Not that many options for men, but so many options. So you can make the man wear a condom, or you can go on birth control, or you can get like a coil, or all of these other things. Or you can get a morning after pill that makes you feel sick for a day, but it, you know, prevents a baby from forming. And so there's no moral issue with any of those. Every conservative Republican can sign off on all of that. You can do all of that, and you should do all of that. And you know, the fact that you haven't really implies that you're morally deficient people. You're like, you know what? I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to kill it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to kill it. That's an awful, awful thing. And you are awful, awful people. Like, never forget that you're terrible, terrible people, right? And so what do the terrible people do? Well, they're like, oh, we're going to have to fight back here. We're going to have to fight back. We're going to flood the whistleblower website, which is where making the claims for these things, with Shrek memes and fake reports and porn. It's like, Shrek memes? Shrek's like the most far-right movie character I can think of.
What?
Anti-immigration, anti-government control. Like, get off my lawn. Like, the state's got no claim on the things I do.
And you got Shrek 2 and whatnot, where he gets a family and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a family man. You know, he's pro-hierarchy, marries a princess. Like, I'm just saying, Shrek ain't your boy, you know, that's all I'm pointing out.
But also, like, this is a negative. Like, the guys working at the whistleblowing agency would just be like, yeah, funny Shrek meme. Mm. Just carry on.
You know what? I do love Shrek, you're right. But that's the way, and the very worst thing, you have to realize, right, you're not being paid to do that. And so your energy levels will drop off, whereas they're being paid to just delete, 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 pass along, delete, delete.
Copy, send to friends.
They get paid. Delete. You know, so that's not going to work, basically. Anyway. What does this mean, Callum? And I realize this segment's going on, but there's so much good stuff, right? This means we're not going to have to watch The Handmaid's Tale anymore. You get the next one, John? Because we're living it.
I've never watched The Handmaid's Tale.
Best utopian fiction I've seen.
Oh, okay.
The premise is most of the world's women become infertile, and so those women that are fertile are for some reason treated like slaves, and I don't think that's how...
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
They become highly wealth, like wealth...
well, exactly. They'd be
highly desired.
Exactly. They'd be the very top of the pyramid. They'd have all the wealthiest and most handsome men, and they would be the ones basically in control of all of society. Kind of like it is now. But it's dystopian fiction written by Margaret Atwood because she's a radical feminist and she enjoys fantasizing about being oppressed by the patriarchy, I guess.
Sounds like a moron.
Yeah, but obvious nonsense, but of course this resonates with other morons, feminists, and misogynists. So the next one, if we can get the next one up. Outlawing abortion, forcing all women to bring pregnancies to term, deputizing everyone as enforcers so that women live in a constant state of fear, unsure in who to trust. No comparisons to The Handmaid's Tale aren't overblown, they're calls to action. All of this is just calls to avoid personal responsibility, though, isn't it? Because all the conservative women, they're not thinking this. They don't think this. They think this is a good thing because they think they should be responsible for the actions that they take. And they don't think that murdering babies is good. But of course, all of this talk of The Handmaid's Tale, you might think, well, that's just feminist being ridiculous. But
hang on a sec. Haven't the leftist women got to ask this off their own daughters?
What do you mean?
Well, surely if you're a leftist mother, even they are going to be interested in their daughter getting pregnant. Yeah. And, you know, not just going for abortion every time because they care about their health.
Yeah.
In which case, are they the Handmaid's Tale, you know, rulers of their own kingdom?
If you don't kill my grandchild, then I disown you.
Right.
Who knows what leftist mothers think? But anyway, so The Handmaid's Tale may well be considered ridiculous, but there are things that are more ridiculous than comparing this law and to The Handmaid's Tale. If we get to the next one, John, it's because The Handmaid's Tale is, of course, white supremacy. We're Becoming a Handmaid's Tale is actually super white-centered take that completely ignores that we're living in a struggle against genocide and slavery that's been going on for over 500 years.
I could just listen to Tariq Nasheed in my ear going, Negro baby Holocaust, as he would say.
Well,
the black nationalists are very much anti-abortion.
And they're right to be so. on this one. But yes, if you think A Handmaid's Tale is shocking, wait until you learn the history of black women in America. Don't get me wrong, she's not wrong. The history of black women in America has not been a fun one.
Black babies in America in the last, like,
50 years or so? Yeah, that's been terrible too. So anyway, I wanted to finish this segment on a segment that was done on GB News. So this was a discussion between a Christian woman and an abortionist. And I call her an abortionist because her opinions are monstrous. Let's play the first clip.
And Hillary Freeman, journalist, agony aunt, and novelist. Hillary, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's your reaction to this court verdict?
I'm absolutely horrified. I mean, to me, it is like Gilead. It's The Handmaid's Tale. It's the start of women's rights being oppressed, rolled back, all our rights going. I can't really see that much difference between what's happened in Texas and what's going on in Afghanistan. It's just a different method, really.
And why do you make that parallel? I mean, what is the concern? Because, you know, many are thinking about the unborn child, of course.
Well, not a six-week-old fetus, embryo, in fact, is not a child. A heartbeat doesn't make something human. Mm. And a six-week-old embryo is not viable. Many pregnancies are lost naturally at that stage. It's not... I don't understand where that time has been picked from. You know, a heartbeat doesn't mean anything.
Hang on, if it can die, it should die.
Just saying, a heartbeat is a necessary condition for a living human.
But also, the argument there she's making, presumably, she's like of the position that once it can survive outside the womb, therefore it should, you know, that should be the limit for abortion. But that's just the argument of, like, if it could die outside, therefore it should be able to die now.
Yes.
But then there are lots of people who could die in those situations, but we keep them alive.
Positively, yeah, positively ridiculous. Yeah, John, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm queuing that up, actually, right? And so I love this framing. A heartbeat doesn't mean anything. It means that they're alive, you psychopath. You know, it's how we distinguish the living from the dead, is whether they have a heartbeat or not. You know, and the point is, all of her arguments are piss weak. And she knows it. She's just like, well, so, no, you're not in an echo chamber. You're not going to get people going, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. When you can't fill in the details because your arguments are bad and you should feel bad. Let's give clip two.
What are the other real world implications for women if the law changes?
Well, basically, we'll go back to a situation where women will be forced to have backstreet abortions, because banning abortion doesn't stop women having abortions. It doesn't actually cut down on abortions. It actually makes them just unsafe.
Love it. Love everything about this.
But they just didn't ban them. Like, they're still legal for 6 weeks.
They are. But banning abortions absolutely did reduce the number of abortions. Right, Hugo found the data on this the other day. It was somewhere, you know, estimated 200,000 or something, where now it's like 900,000. So that absolutely did reduce that, and of course it does, right? But the argument that she's presenting here is, if we make something illegal, people will commit crimes, therefore we shouldn't make things illegal. That's ridiculous. That's an argument against the concept of law itself. That's absurd. You're an idiot. Absolute idiot, right? And again, there is a third way, a middle way, between women aborting till the point of birth, or, you know, getting backstreet abortions, and that's called personal responsibility. Can you imagine women taking personal responsibility?
No, they are literally forced to go into the back street.
That's literally the feminist opinion. Mm. Women can't take responsibility. They can't do what they ought to do. That's her opinion. How could you expect something of women? How could you expect virtue of women? How could you expect, you know, women to take the morning after pill or use contraception or anything like that?
Or
God forbid, raise the child they conceived through voluntary action. Just saying, God forbid that women take responsibility for the decisions they've made there. Nope. The point, though, that she's failing to understand is it is actually to reduce the number of women who get abortions. That's the point of all of this. Anyway, let's play clip three.
Where might you draw the line? I mean, what is a reasonable term at which to say at that point you don't abort?
Well, actually, my view is that abortion should be legal from up till term. Because then you're not controlling women's bodies. I think last year, or the 2018 statistics, there were only something like 289 late terminations after 24 weeks. So women don't do it.
Right. Well, if women don't do it, then they don't need it, do they? That's the simple answer. If women, as you say, women don't do it, then they don't need that. And 289 is 289 viable babies who are murdered. I'm sorry, no. Absolutely.
If you're controlling women at all, that's unacceptable.
Yep.
So when we pass a law that says no murder,
that's controlling women.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And by that standard, why can't women just murder their own children? Women happen to be the people who murder their own children most.
I think it's babies. I think afterwards it's men. But
sure. But like, I can't remember. You know, when it comes to young children. So this is her just asserting her ideological premise that the only reason that we should have abortion up until the point of birth is because of controlling women's bodies. Well, I think that there are controls on people's bodies. Women being people means that they have to subject themselves to some kind of controls. Because in all questions of rights and duties, these things conflict between individuals, and so a middle ground has to be found between them. So women have a responsibility to stop at certain points, men have a responsibility to stop at certain points, and this is a social negotiation we go through. But let's get to the truly monstrous position that she holds. Go for clip four.
What's the difference between an unborn baby that's perhaps, 8 or 9 pounds in weight outside of the mother's body versus inside the mother's body, if we talk about a term pregnancy?
Because when it's inside the mother's body, the mother is keeping it alive. The mother is feeding it. The mother is giving it all the nutrients. She's carrying it around. It's like a parasite, really, when you're pregnant. When it's outside even when a baby's born, a baby may be born at full term, but it's not actually going to be able to survive unless it's looked after, is it? So, what does viability really mean?
It's a parasite. What does viability really mean? What an absolutely horrendous human being she is, right? For a start, I love the way she's acting like she's some sort of self-sustaining island. As in, she's not viable on her own. If you dropped her on a desert island, she'd die. In the same way a baby would die. Because she doesn't know how to create, she doesn't know how to farm, she doesn't know how to build a house. None of the things that she owns, she made, she relies on other people. In all ways, right? So don't give me any of this bloody self-sustaining viability bollocks, right? That's nonsense, right? But she is right that viability, therefore, is no standard at all. And if it's no standard at all, if it doesn't really mean anything, then we shouldn't use it. Mm. The question is it a human? Does it have a heartbeat? If the answer is yes, then you probably shouldn't kill it. Especially if it's done nothing wrong. I don't know why we have to make this any more complicated. And so there we go. We shouldn't just murder for convenience, and maybe women should take responsibility for the things they do. Checkmate. Get wrecked. Love it.
Well, that's like next level, like Juche. In Juche, North Korean ideology, there's a idea of self-reliance, and the state should be entirely self-reliant of all other states. Yeah. And the idea is if you're not living that life on a personal basis, just...
Yeah. Well, all of their arguments are terrible and make them look like absolute moral abominations. Sorry, I know I went that on along with that.
No, it was worth it. Totally worth it.
Yeah, I thought so.
All right, so let's get into the Taliban. So the Taliban have decided that gender studies is non-acceptance, and they seem to be right. So let's start with just a clip of what the Taliban are up to. Apparently, they've been finding not just piles and piles of guns, as everyone has been demonstrating, but piles and piles of cash as well that the Americans left behind, which I don't know why I'm surprised about at this point. I mean, how much cash are those guns that they're going to just sell and make a huge profit on, which... Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. And you can see some representative from the United States saying, "This makes my blood boil." Yep. I don't know if we can skip through to the middle here where they've got the cash, because he's literally just got like bricks and bricks of it.
Well, this is the same thing that happened in Iraq.
Yeah, same situation.
Literally pallets
there
of
money.
There
we go. So you can see the just piles and piles of cash and him just taking them out. And it's all $100 bills.
Which is doubtless used to just bribe local warlords.
Yeah. So
that's your taxes at work.
But so that's the Taliban. And what have we been doing with this money? We've been buying cell phones and going on Twitter.com, favorite platform of choice. God. And they found this one tweet, so we got the next one. So
the only platform that will let them on, incidentally.
Well, apart from YouTube, apparently.
Won't let me on, won't let Trump on, do let the Taliban on.
So this lady says, "For 8.5 years, I taught at the American University of Afghanistan as a faculty member and academic administrator. I found the first gender studies program in Afghanistan's history there. All our work, dreams, hopes, progress, only to have it snatched away so needlessly."
You know, I love having this many white pills on a Friday.
Yeah. Gender studies in Afghanistan has been shut down. Oh, no. Oh, that sucks. And that would be the usual response from people like us.
There's a great response at the bottom. The Taliban were willing to fight for their beliefs. You weren't. There we go. That's exactly right.
Taliban have retweeted this, which is funny. So let's go to the next one. You got the Taliban. "Hello, I'm from the Taliban." What an intro. "Gender studies classes teach that paedophilia... open brackets, man-boy love, is a human right."
That's true.
Gail Rubin, one of the world's leading feminists and founder of gender studies, says that older men having sex with little boys is a human right. This is forbidden by Allah. And the best part is apparently the Taliban have been doing their research. So while she was teaching gender studies,
books.
They actually like brought the books and went through them. and they've got the quotes to prove it. Like, were they the students at the school? And after being students at the school at the University of Afghanistan, they were like, right, sod this, I'm off to the Taliban.
Okay, so these are Gail Rubin's words I'm about to read, and I don't stand by them at all. She says, it is harder for most people to sympathize with actual boy lovers. Like communists and homosexuals in the 1950s, boy lovers are so stigmatized that it is difficult to find defenders for their civil liberties, let alone for their erotic orientation. These men have been the victims of a savage and underserved witch hunt. A lot of people will be embarrassed by their collaboration with this persecution.
No, they won't. They sure as hell don't.
Imagine that being the hill you're going to die on.
You missed out one quote there. Oh, local police, the FBI, and watchdog postal inspectors have joined to build a huge apparatus whose sole aim is to wipe out the community of men who love underage youth. As if it's a criticism.
Sorry, I just want to salute those men.
The FBI, the local police, watchdog postal inspectors. Good job, lads.
And this is why the Taliban outlawed Bakabazi.
Yes, as mentioned. I mean, we will remember that the Taliban are Islamists and...
They're terrible, terrible human beings.
Well, no, they believe in Islam and therefore they're pedophiles, so let's go to the next one. I'm being hyperbolic there, but Mohammed is the perfect man and he engaged with what we would describe as pedophilia. So, of course, child marriage in Afghanistan is also incredibly high in the rural areas that the Taliban controlled.
Yes.
And they also allowed it before and they're also now doing it now. So, yes, no change.
But also, we disavow the Taliban because they shoot people.
Yeah, but I mean, we're just talking about pedophilia today. So, if we go to the next one.
If the Taliban were smart, they'd just term it as late-term abortion, wouldn't they?
They could do that. So the thing here, of course, the regime we put in charge covered up paedophilia of young boys. So again, we're talking about boy loving,
yeah.
Because the Taliban are only girl loving. So I mean, they've got that girl for them. They've illegalized 50% of the paedophilia.
Yeah, they're 50% less Nazi than the left.
And the government we put in charge in Afghanistan.
Amazing.
And that's the amazing thing. The US regime and the US soldiers there had to just stand by and watch what's going on.
Yeah, just to be clear, our position is 0% Nazi.
Yeah, the law.
Yeah, yeah. Not just the law, it's the moral law as well.
Yeah, but it's just the thing of, like, in the West, we find this repugnant. Go to some uncivilized parts of the world,
like
such
France.
As France, Afghanistan, or American university campuses, and the academics have a different opinion. So if we go to the next one here, it turns out the Taliban didn't even put in the worst parts.
Oh, really?
Of this essay. So this is Gail Rubin, Thinking Sex, Notes for a Radical Theory of the Politics of Sexuality.
Why does the world need this?
It really doesn't.
Oh, God.
So the context in which she was saying that, because the context is so important and will surely make things better, it doesn't. She says, a new and even tougher federal child pornography bill has just reached the House Senate conference.
Based.
It removes any requirement that prosecutors must prove that the alleged child pornography was distributed for commercial sale.
Wait, is this the Vorsch position?
Yeah, this is the one she took in the 80s.
Oh, God.
Once this bill becomes law, a person merely possessing a nude snapshot of their 17-year-old lover or friend may go to jail for 15 years and be fined $100,000. This bill has passed the House 400-1.
Based.
It's like, okay. And she's given an example there of, let's say, there's a relationship between a 17-year-old and another 17-year-old, and the 17-year-old becomes 18, and then,
sure.
You know, that's
and
the thing.
I'm sure that a judge could make a reasonable judgment if that came up in his courtroom.
Yeah, but then she doesn't even give that as the example. So she gives another example to try and make her case. What example does she give? The experiences of art photographer Jacqueline Livingston exemplify the climate created by the child porn panic. An assistant professor of photography at Cornell University, Livingston was fired in 1978 after exhibiting pictures of male nudes, which included photographs of her 7-year-old son masturbating. That's the example she gives to justify why she thinks man-boy love should be accepted. And
weird how they make the Taliban look rational.
Yeah, this is the part the Taliban left out. Which, and then we have the last bit here. So she later goes on to confirm what this is all about. Right-wing ideology linking non-familial sex with communism and political weakness is nothing new. During the McCarthy period, Alfred Kinsey and his Institute for Sex Research were attacked for weakening the moral fiber of Americans and rendering them more vulnerable to communist influence. That's her words.
I don't know anything about that, but it's probably true.
I mean, her here advocating for man-boy love. Being accepted. Yeah, I would say that's going to make you weaker to communist influence.
I'm just going to guess that she herself was a communist.
Mm. I also love how Afghanistan, the Taliban overthrew the communists as well, which is another aspect of all this. But if you're wondering why any of this is important at all, well, this is how Rubin's essay is described in academia, Rubin's 1984 essay, Thinking Sex, is widely regarded as the founding text of gay and lesbian studies, sexuality studies, and queer theory.
Man, there are so many L's being taken by the left today, I just can't get over it.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
But it's amazing!
But there's the thing, I mean, how sickening do you have to get where your founding text is arguing for paedophilia, and then some academic is like, I was teaching this in the Afghan university. And the Taliban are like, yeah, we
do. Not anymore, you're not.
that's why we kicked you out.
But this is not in any way new for the left either. No. Michel Foucault, Derrida, and Simone de Beauvoir, apart from Foucault actually being an accused paedophile from one of his friends who saw him getting on with Tunisian boys. Also, they all signed a letter to demand the French government reduce the age of consent in France to 13. And there has been the Labour Party's involvement with the Paedophile Information Exchange, which is a pro-paedophile movement, all through the 70s and 80s
it's
in Britain.
It's a systemic problem.
And
with
in
left.
Germany, where they were giving young boys to paedophiles. I just want to be, just make sure
I'm
clear.
We're going to go on too long if we do this.
The point. Then you have NAMBLA in the United States, which was exactly what Gail Rubin is referring to and probably references NAMBLA in this paper.
She does.
So just, well, there we go. So yeah, I didn't even need to know, did I? I didn't need to read it to know that, right? So just to be clear, there is a very long and deep link between radical left-wing politics and being pro-pedo. Never let it be said there's not.
The head of NAMBLA was also a member of the Communist Party.
Yes, he was.
States. What's she up to anyway? Apparently she's still an associate professor of anthropology and women's studies at the University of Michigan. So if you're ever visiting the University of Michigan, I mean, keep the kids at home.
Yeah.
But take them with you.
Yeah.
That's all the advice I've got. But the thing in my mind is just like, why would anyone want an American university on their land teaching gender studies if this is the founding text? I mean, I can see why the Taliban are upset about this. I'm surprised more of the world's nations with American universities on their soil are not upset about this.
Are you saying that Pakistan might be start reading through their own the papers? That
I wouldn't change the culture there. So,
well,
yeah. Anyway, moving on from Pakistan, Delenta Est. Yeah. So, if in case you're wondering, I mean, this is why some of this is stinging so badly is because the Taliban really do understand what makes the West empty and are prodding at it to point it out to Westerners. So, we go to the next thing here. This is a tweet from Politics for All. Former Manchester Labour councillor Carl Ullsted, who said that males have a right to access to women and girls' toilets, has been charged with indecently assaulting a girl under the age of 16. Pure coincidence, I'm sure.
Did you also see the Wee Spa incident update?
We're going to do that in another segment, so I'll leave that there for now.
Okay.
So,
guess where that's going, though.
Yeah. So if we go on from this, I just wanted to go through a few of the Taliban's memes. And you might think this is self-indulgent, because some of them are interesting. No, I want to make a point with this, which is their memes are strikingly hurtful to a Westerner who's looking at our own civilization. So here's the first one, in which they have the meme of, I can't remember the name of this meme, actually, but you've got the guy who's covered in LGBT symbols, communist symbols, Marvel, Pornhub, Facebook, Disney, all behind him. They're like, no, stop indoctrinating children. And then just the Chad Taliban with their Quran. This is their meme. It's how they represent themselves. If we go to the next one, we have another one that this guy's posted. Chat from the Taliban. They brainwashed you.
They ripped this one off the Christians.
I know, right? It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they've got all the, like, you know, Western symbols, and then the Chad Muslim being like, really? That's the idea of the meme. And if we go to the next one here, we have the Taliban Pepe versus the LGBT trans rights McDonald's embassy and the Americans fleeing.
That's not even wrong, though. That's not even wrong. And then everything about that meme is true.
And then we have the last one here I wanted to use, so let's get the next one up.
Look at the...
Sorry.
It's all right, it's all right. Just the transgender person hanging onto the helicopter. It's just... Carry on.
Yeah, you got people falling off the plane as well. I mean, they don't hold bars here, do they? No. And then you have the last one. This is from a Taliban account that Taliban account retweeted. So it's Chad Muslims is the framing of...
No,
so
Chad Taliban particularly. Sorry, Chad BTFOing Taliban. BTFOing other Muslims.
So Chad Taliban saying, so guys, I just retook Afghanistan and made it an Islamic Emirate. And then the Chad Muslims of the Muslim world being like, A Lamal, based bro, A my Afghan buddies, waving the flag. And then you have the virgin Western Muslims who respond by saying, oh my God, Taliban aren't Muslims. They don't know what Sharia is. Only I know because I went to Yale.
Oh, I saw it on TikTok.
Yeah.
You don't understand. Jihad is under defenses.
So this is their memes, and they're good. They are very good, what would you call it, psyops.
Well,
psychological operations.
The reason these work is because the left-wing narratives on Islam and the Taliban and things like that are fictional. They don't really have any essential truth to them. And so as soon as the ability to just show an act of Islam through the Taliban lens occurs, it destroys everything that they've said. Mm. You know, because I mean, I've heard people saying, oh, "Yeah, I was in a taxi, and my taxi driver was from Afghanistan, and said he thought the Taliban were great, and things like that." It's like, oh my god,
yeah.
You know, but Western intellectual academic Muslims are full of it.
I should point out there are a bunch of other memes from this account which are not striking, but I want to take out the ones that were striking because it's interesting that they're able to talk in that language. Because if we go to the next one here, this is their usual propaganda, in which is just footage of them filming a clearly astroturfed protest for women's rights, except the women's rights protest is by women in burqas saying that everything's great now that the Taliban are here. Allahu Akbar.
Oh my God.
Because the old regime was run by disbelievers, and the Taliban here calling, saying, you won't see these women in Zionist media. I mean, this is their usual stuff, right? This is stock Taliban, you know, Islamist propaganda.
Yeah, they are right. You won't see those women in Zionist media. And they mean, when they say Zionist, they mean Western media, right? And they won't show that because they'll say, well, that's Islamophobic. Also, real Islam isn't women covered head to toe in black robes.
But also it's obvious propaganda. Like the way this is set up, the shots, the script, which he reads. Sure. You know, and it's really crap, but their memes aren't. And that's something new that we have to address. So we go to the next one here. There's just one more of their memes. And even they've noticed this. So the Taliban account saying, meme made by 10 trillion IQ, he is the minister of memes. And then the meme...
of a minister of memes.
And then the post is like White House memes, and it's the intern Saki TikTok. Yeah. And then Taliban memes, Sneed memes from 4chan, in which they've got the redone of them as the Taliban.
Unbelievable. But you're completely right about these hurting the West. These genuinely are damaging to Western narratives.
Compared to their other propaganda that has no effect on a Western
Absolutely. They look ridiculous. Like, oh, look, we've got all our women dressed up in bin bags.
Damn Zionists. It's like,
A, you sound ridiculous, and B, that's an awful thing to do. Just to be clear, we're trying to occupy a middle ground between Taliban and three-year-old transgenders, right? There is a reasonable middle ground there, and we're trying to claim it, but it's becoming more difficult, frankly.
So one of the things I wanted to mention is that because their memes are effective because, as you mentioned, they reflect parts of reality. I mean, it's not that the Taliban are good or offering anything good. It's just that they're
evil.
Their criticism of Western institutions as being devoid of anything meaningful and are entirely unwholesome.
Authenticity.
Yeah, is true. And, it's made some Americans apparently start joining in with the S-posting. So we go to the next one. We have the Taliban in USA. And if we click on the first image here, this is a meme that the Taliban put out in which they have someone with Black Lives Matter, transracial flag, and communist symbol. Now we have a name for you. What? You're the American Taliban. And then the MAGA version, I imagine, is just, yeah, fair enough. I'm the American Taliban. And there's some people S-posting being like, yeah, why not? This is funny.
I mean, it is funny, but like, it's not going to win any battles.
No, of course not. But it's the funny point of being like, well, there's a reason that they're able to make this meme live. And CNN has a diagnosis. Is it that Western institutions are vague? No. No, it's just white supremacists. White supremacist praise of the Taliban causes White House concern. It's like...
Yeah, but you guys can't stop thinking about white supremacists. It's literally it all day, every day.
Like, anyone just retweeting it because, you know, they criticize BLM as a white supremacist. Yeah. That's their take. But it's also because, I mean, just look at the West, okay? So we're going to go through some examples. First one being the doggos, the good boys, who didn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. The American dogs that were left behind. And the Taliban gave a press conference. They were like, yeah, we fed the dogs. They're all right.
The Australians shot the dogs.
That's the next one. Let's go to the next one, which is them petting the dogs. And then the next one here being Sky News reporting that the Australians murdered 10 puppies. They shot 5 adult dogs and then killed 10 puppies because...
I just can't get over it.
The risk of COVID. And meanwhile, you've got the Taliban posting, nah, we pet our dogs, even though they're haram. Yeah. The Prophet didn't like them, whatever. I don't know. But like they...
So obviously a fantastic optics victory. I mean, I don't doubt that after they took those photos, the Taliban just shot the dogs, you know. Like, they are literally those sorts of people. But at the end of the day, you're allowing them to dunk on us completely. Stop it.
There is no evidence of them shooting him there.
No, I know. If I'm being hyperbolic. But the point is, they're the sort of people who wouldn't think twice about it. Mm. And apparently so are the Australians.
Also, the criticism of everything in the West being covered in rainbow colours. Let's go to the next one. Remember, they shot puppies because of COVID, but yet cops... imposing a brutal lockdown in Sydney, West, are caught throwing a party at the police station for LGBTQIA awareness. And David Raboy making the good point. Let's not get carried away. Can't let lockdowns interfere with the state religion.
And he's right. It is a state religion.
We can scroll down here just to see the images as well, as you can see. The state religion carries on. Puppies, murder them because spread of COVID. But in the office at the police station, let's throw a party. Why?
I bet the Taliban are thrilled that their enemies are such ridiculous farces.
It's so easy for them. This is what I mean. Like, they've been on the internet 5 minutes And yet they're better at memeing...
This is what we've got to address. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're better at memeing than the entire left, but that's not hard.
No.
But they're also better at memeing than some of the right. And it's like, this is only because the West is so weak.
Yeah.
And another example of the state religion, let's go to the next one. Ford did a thing that no one asked for. Ford Europe, verified checkmark. You asked hashtag Ford to make a hashtag very gay raptor a reality.
Did we?
Who? Name them.
Did we do
I want to know the name. I bet there isn't one. John Smith, we swear. So, Pride Flag, our real-life version, made its debut in Cologne Pride last week in its rainbows adorned glory. I don't think anyone asked for this. And as you can see, they've also not gone with the normal, traditional, conservative Pride Flag. They went with the transracial one, with separate but equal segregated black and brown stripes to represent the separate but equal
the
black and brown.
The critical race theory queers. Pride Flag, yes.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, then we just have some of the absurdities going out of the fact that we don't even believe in rights anymore in the West. I mean, we don't even have this on them. Because, I mean, look at Australia, shoe posting here, AU, what the F. And this is the quote from The Atlantic. People in South Australia will be forced to download an app that combines facial recognition and geolocation. The state will text them at random times, and thereafter, they will have 15 minutes to take a picture of their face in the location where they are supposed to be. Should they fail... the local police department will be sent to follow up in person.
Just to say, the Taliban, as an oppressive authoritarian regime, are probably not as oppressive and authoritarian as Australia has become.
Because they don't have that technology.
No. So it's weird. It's like watching two Nazis argue over the colour of their flags.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, well, you know, like literally, from the liberal position, they're both cancer. I can't stand either.
Could we not just have British flag?
Yeah.
Could that be
back the goddamn empire if that's where we're going with this. You know what I mean?
And okay, Australia is an authoritarian place, as Helen Dale explained, with the fact that they are the descendants of the...
But clearly they need remote rule from Britain to tell them how a country should be run.
So do the Americas.
Of course.
So go to the ACLU. So the ACLU have also forgotten what rights are.
Oh, yeah.
Far from compromising them, vaccine mandates actually further civil liberties.
If the state can't inject you with a vaccine, then you're not free. You don't have civil rights.
The American Civil Liberties Union.
Unbelievable.
They have fallen so far. And then I just wanted to go to the next one on this, which is the last thing, just to also point out how weak we are at just advocating our own worldview as a civilization, because we have abandoned the liberal or conservative standards and instead have gone for the state religion. This is our favourite punching bag, I must be honest. This is, I can't remember her name now, it's completely escaped
Claudia
me.
Webb.
Claudia Webb. Claudia Webb asking the government, what are we doing to set up LGBT safe zones within Taliban-controlled Afghanistan? Let's play the clip.
What?
Quickly, just on the issue of inclusivity and the issue of minorities, what work is being done with the UN to create safe zones within Afghanistan for religious minorities, for lesbian, gay, bisexual, plus others communities? What is being done to keep people safe? We already know that inclusivity, as far as the Taliban government is concerned, will not include those groups.
Look at his face.
Dominic Raab's face. What a stupid question.
What a moronic thing to say.
Yeah.
What are we doing to set up LGBT safe zones in Taliban-controlled Kabul?
Nothing is the answer to that, Claudia. I mean, like, collaborators are currently being shot in their own homes by the Taliban. Nothing is being done by the British because, essentially, it would require us to be returned to empire. This would be, you know, the third British invasion of Afghanistan. So we're going to run over, but I want to do this segment as well in the end. Just this is a good segment. And God damn it. I'm just so annoyed that the sort of conservative, like, Western position, right, has been completely collapsed in on itself. And now you've got these, you know, Islamic radicals and the woke Taliban going at it on social media. And the only thing that the woke Taliban have said is, why aren't the Taliban being inclusive? Well, because they're the fucking Taliban.
Yeah,
it's like, what are we doing about it? Nothing. We've just retreated from the country. Why are you bringing that up? Oh, God, anyway. Insufferable. Insufferable.
We are losing the information war.
We absolutely are. Our messaging is not on point. But on the plus side, they are screeching about abortion. So, good start. Anyway, why her sexual history has nothing to do with your relationship. A thesis by Lauren Curtis that's totally wrong and they can't even explain why it's wrong. And women themselves will prove it wrong, as I'm about to show you. So, Lauren says, it has come to my attention lately that men are somehow still, this was written in 2016, uncomfortable, turned off, and even disgusted by a woman's sexual history. I'm sure you know the kind of guy I'm talking about. One that immediately becomes uninterested in a woman simply because her number is too high. You mean a normal guy. Some guys seem to think that they have the right to judge a woman's character based solely off the number of people she's slept with. You have the right to judge anything, anytime, in any way you want. Just so you know, lads. Don't mind that these same guys have slept with the entire cast of 90210 because that's different, right? Yes. That's exactly right. It is different. Suck it up.
What is the obsession? Like, men and women are different. What's up with that?
That's right. They are different. We've all heard it. Oh, dude, she slept with that many people. She must have daddy issues. Or the classic, you really shouldn't trust a girl who slept with that many guys. She'll sure cheat on you. That's also true. This kind of behavior... What?
If a woman's had a lot of boyfriends, that means she's going to cheat on you?
If she had a large number of sexual partners, I mean, maybe.
No, if she was honest to all of them.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, this kind of behavior by men conditions women into thinking, and really I think they're thinking of like one-night stands.
Yeah.
But this kind of behavior conditions men into thinking that their past sexual experiences are somehow, conditions women, the behavior by men conditions women into thinking their past sexual experiences are somehow wrong. And this can take a toll on a woman's self-worth and self-esteem. Yeah, that's why you should choose your scars more wisely, isn't it? You know, perhaps, actually, some people are of the opinion that perhaps being a total hoe is wrong, and being as promiscuous as the left would have you be might actually take a toll on your self-worth and self-esteem. This is an aspect of reality. So much so that a large number of women feel the need to lie about their past to a potential lover or partner. Yes, and being a liar is not good. As Marcus Aurelius says, if it's not right, don't do it, and if it's not true, don't say it. Women have been told for years that this is just the way the world works, because it is, and to get used to it. But it's time to shift the conversation directly to the many slut-shaming men out there, some of whom do it without even realizing. We call those people kings. Let me tell you, I'm not taking any prisoners anymore, man. I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of it. It's got to stop, right? Let me tell you about something that a friend once said to me that really stuck. A woman's life is not practice for being your wife. And boom, there it is, because that's wrong. It absolutely is practice, right? Look at the marriage rates for a start, right? The men are just not getting married. Women still want to get married. Men aren't doing it because why? Well, look at your options. The meme at the moment that's going around is like, you know, what are you going to choose, my son? The trad single mother with three children? Or, you know, the femboy and blah, blah, blah. And the guy's just like looking at his like hentai pillow and just being like, eh. Because what are his options, right? And the reason that this matters is like habit-forming behaviors are important. If you form certain habits, you are likely, unconsciously, to continue these habits without even thinking about it, because most of our decisions are not rational decisions. Most of the things that we do are force of habit. And so, yes, if a woman does not have practice in being a dutiful and responsible woman, then you don't really have any reason to think that she's going to be a dutiful and responsible wife, do you? Anyway, just think about it for a second. A woman does not, and rightfully should not, have to stop and think, will my future partner approve of this, or will he think I'm a slut, before every single sexual encounter? Why?
Why wouldn't you have to think of that?
Yeah. I mean, if I was a man, I'd have to make certain thoughts in that sort of vein regarding other aspects of life. You know, if I tell my boss to get effed, is my wife going to be annoyed at me for quitting my job and putting us in the poorhouse? Yeah, she is. She'd be very annoyed. There are different things, different pressures. Anyway, if men don't live in fear of being called a slut for sleeping around, then why should we? Because you ain't men. That's why. If we want to let our freak flag fly, who's to stop us? Newsflash, it's not you. Actually, you're wrong. It is us, which is why you're writing this article. Because fundamentally, women control access to sex, men control access to relationships, and you're going to want relationships in the future. So perhaps you want to think about lowering that freak flag just a bit and maybe winding your bloody necks in. All right? Women are not going to limit themselves simply because one day some insecure little boy, consider yourself shamed, Callum, as if, like, I care about that. Like,
I care what this horse has to say.
Exactly. The garden tools are upset, right? Might be uncomfortable about the realities of sex. Look, the reality is what you make of it, okay? Sorry, but it just doesn't work that way. Yeah, it does. What did you expect? For her to sit around knitting, waiting for you to come along, for her to explore herself and her sexuality, all the while you're out there scoring left and right? F no. Think about that. How is he scoring left and right if all of the women are sat at home knitting and waiting for a man to make a wife out of them so they can become a husband? Oh, that's right, they're not, because women are the ones controlling the access to sex. So if you were more particular about who you had sex with and weren't quite so promiscuous, you wouldn't even have a double standard of which to complain. Simple as that. And the answer is obviously Chad, yes. So I'm sorry to crush all your boyish dreams, but a woman's sex drive doesn't just miraculously appear the first time she lays eyes on you. The odds are she had a life and sex life before you, and if you hold on to this slut-shaming frame of mind, she'll sure as hell have one after you. Yes, the odds are she hasn't been prudent with her decision-making because of the incredibly left-wing view of culture that we have at the moment. But you're looking for a relationship. You're not just looking for one night stand, or at least most women are. As a woman, I know firsthand just how hard it can be to feel completely comfortable in your own skin. Doubt. You wouldn't be writing this if you did. You'd be doing something else. Also, I know just how much damage that four-letter word can do. Slut. Well, why is it so damaging if none of this matters?
If you're so comfortable in your skin.
Why would a simple word make you feel so upset? John's telling me the word is ruined, and that's not wrong. Everyone has made mistakes. I'm sure we've all kissed a few frogs along the way. Yeah, I love the way that she's like dialing back. Oh, it's just so sweet and innocent when I had a, you know, gangbang in a fraternity. You know, I was just kissing a few frogs along the way. No, you were being a slut, okay? This is a real term and a real word, and that is a real thing, and you know
when
that.
When I was
shooting
Bukkake compilation 529.
Exactly. don't judge me for my OnlyFans. This was actually written before OnlyFans.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
But what's up to you now?
Who knows? I'm sure she's happily married, doting trad wife. Oh, don't judge me by my past. But no one on this earth has the right to hold your decisions against you. Yeah, they do. Of course they do. Why would they not? You don't have the right to have an opinion on me. I think I might.
Aren't you trying to marry me?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's more, I'm going to vocalize that right. Anyway, it is important for every woman to realize that no matter how ashamed someone tries to make you feel about your past, without it, you wouldn't be the badass bitch you are today. Yeah. Not getting badass vibes from this. Getting needy, weak, sickly vibes. Going, oh, no, you can't blame me. I was told in college that it was okay. And I didn't think about what my parents would say. I didn't think about what my dad would have thought about it. You know, I just thought, no, I'll just do it and it'll be fine. I can get an abortion. You know, so if you're in Texas, bad luck. Anyway, and men, you need to step back and realize just how much harm can come from this kind of slut shaming. Trying to control a woman's sexuality is another form of policing her freedom. Mm-hmm. It's up to each woman to decide who she does or who does not sleep with. And when a man tries to judge her, it only speaks to that man's character. FYI, you look like a dick. Well, it's starting to say that you are complaining about the kind of men who want to get married and have families, right? That's the character that speaks to, you know, the sort of upright man who gets a job, pays his taxes, you know, like does the right thing, is the kind of person you'll call in an emergency. That's the kind of character of the man that you're talking to here. And that man is just like, well, I don't really want a whore. Call me crazy. So it does matter, actually. And the thing is, the way that this is framed, it's all an admission that, yeah, these are mistakes. We're making a bunch of mistakes here. Just don't judge me for them. It's like, well, how about you just make better choices? Make fewer mistakes. Learn the value and the virtue of prudence, right? Anyway, so as a grown man, you should be able to understand what the number of people a woman has slept with. One, does not directly affect a moral character.
X.
Yeah. And two, doesn't really concern you. No, you're wrong on both counts, love. Right? So to all of the men out there who refuse to date, marry, befriend, or associate themselves with a woman because of her number, grow up. Please and thank you. Yeah, it works in both counts, you know it. And we can prove this because of the way women act. All we need is women's revealed preferences. There was a wonderful trend that was going around recently of women objectifying themselves on TikTok by describing themselves as used cars.
Huh.
Love it. Love everything about it. And the thing is, right, it's actually a really wholesome meme because this is great.
Well, providing that the specs of the car are wholesome.
Exactly. Right. But the thing is, they're quite like nice looking young women. You know, they're not dressed like whores.
Yeah.
They're dressed like...
Oh, I'm disappointed the BLM flag.
But. Yeah, of course. But on a personal level, right, whatever they've been, you know, the ideological mush that's been imposed on them, on a personal level, they're dressed quite respectably, right? So they look, you know, if that was my daughter, I'd be like, okay, yeah, she looks fine. Nothing wrong with that, you know? And so she says, the article says, "No, your meme is calling this the previous owner's trend. The trend sees women listing their previous owners, aka their number of exes. They use miles to represent their body count or number of partners they've engaged in sexual activities with. They use year, make, and model to list the age and description of the body type and personality. Stickers for things like tattoos and condition to describe themselves as reliable, used, etc. And so they use a song, blah, blah, blah. And the creator of the trend hasn't actually been identified, but an early example is blah, blah, blah. And people aren't happy about it. Some of the people on Twitter were like, that trend on TikTok where you give yourself mileage and previous owners is very weird. If you can scroll down and see the tweets, John.
Are these women who are complaining?
They are women who are complaining.
Right.
Leftist women. Previous owners, like, respect yourself for real. Like, why are you objectifying yourself like that? And they have no answer for this.
No, because there's a...
They don't know. Well, we'll get to it. Right. So we can get to the next one, which is, why are they doing this? And this was a philosophical investigation from a leftist woman who has no idea what's going on. So they complain about the new trend and say, don't get me wrong, I'm all for calling out misogynistic trends online, and there are far too many well-known meme accounts across Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok that disguise sexist behavior as harmless jokes. But I don't think this particular trend is objectifying anyone, since the entire thing seems deliberately engineered to parody objectification itself. No, that's not what it is. Obviously, this would be a very different story if men or anyone were creating spec sheets for another non-consenting person, but that's not the case here. The women are engaging in the trend, are doing so of their own volition and having fun with it. By using terms like previous owners and mileage to refer to exes and prior sexual encounters, you could even argue women are actually reclaiming long-standing offensive notions that sexually active women are damaged or used up. No, they're not. They're playing into them. They're embracing them. But they might not even be that deep. If you've frequented TikTok enough, you know most users on there that nearly treat everything as an ironic joke. This is probably just another one. So translation, I don't know why this is happening, but I do. And I can tell you, ladies, this is very good. This is very interesting, right? So what are these women actually doing? They're displaying virtue. That's what they're doing. Because if you can go back to one of the previous pictures on the previous article, if you go to the picture at the top, right? If you go up to the top, because you can see the body counts and stuff like that, right? These are quite low numbers, like especially the Mexican one there. Previous owner's one, you know, she's had previous boyfriend, has been crashed, but is recoverable, very reliable, stuff like that. Okay. She's not off the list, is she, Callum?
No.
You know? Exactly. You know, previous owner's two, miles three. That's pretty low numbers in the modern day and age. That's very low numbers, in fact. You know, so not off the table, and that's what they're showing you. They are, in fact, displaying their virtue as good and chaste women.
The other reason I wanted to mention that this is very interesting to me, I've sent John two links, which are two timestamps from a video that I think would be good to end on, which is that it perfectly gives you, like, the things men are interested in. You know, here's the used car. Here's just the raw numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, women don't understand what men find attractive at all.
Yeah.
And the reason I've sent John these two links is because it's a video in which they had some women rate themselves in order of who's most and least attractive. And then they had the men come in, put earmuffs on them, and had the men do it. And yeah.
Okay, we'll finish on that in a second. Let me finish what I was going to say. So if we can go back to the picture a second. Yeah, so what they're doing here is displaying virtue, right? They're showing potential partners that they're actually interested in long-term relationships with an eye to family building, to the future, and have been let down by the people they chose in the past. They weren't the ones to ruin the relationships. You know, that's what they're claiming. I mean, whether their claims are true or not, who knows, right? But, you know, apart from the one in the middle who's a bit, doesn't seem to understand that she's not actually doing very well in comparison to the two ladies on either side.
Is the miles meant to be people I've slept with?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, again, in this day and age, 9 probably isn't that high. But anyway, she, you know, no accidents, very reliable.
Well, she's born in 2001. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, good point. But even then, that's probably not the worst of these day and age. Yeah, I know, John, I know. But, well, it's just the way things are now, man. I mean, what are you going to do?
All right, let's go.
Anyway, so the point is, though, they're acting in good faith, and it's surprisingly wholesome. And they're putting out a hook to say, I'm interested in something serious, and I'm taking my life prospects as a woman seriously. I'm taking my duties as a woman seriously, which is not to unnecessarily sully myself before I meet you and we begin a relationship. And so, you know, they're making it the best chance they can that a man would turn around and say, oh, yeah, she's the one. she's the one I want to marry. You know, she fits all the criteria, and I'm sure that we go on dates and get, you know, if we fall in love, then she would be the right one. They're trying to create like the right conditions for this to happen. So they're working to their own advantage with an understanding that men have an interest and a right to be respected in this way, right? And so it shows that they're not just a product of modernity and promiscuity. They're looking for something serious, and it shows they're cultivating good habits. And these habits can be relied upon if you're in to enter into a serious relationship with her, of course, because good habits are an indication of future behavior. And this is a persuasive argument to the man who is going to be the arbiter of whether the relationship will be long-term or not. And this is a legitimate concern, as there's no particular reason, as you would expect, a woman to suddenly break a habit of a lifetime at the very moment she enters into the relationship with you. If she's been incredibly promiscuous up until this point, you're like, oh no, I can trust her in every circumstance going on. You know, that's nonsense, right? And so, yeah, no wonder the leftists can't understand what's going on with this.
But as for the women not understanding this.
The women, yeah, the normal women, the sort of non-leftist side of them, they totally get why this is good.
I thought we'd just explore another point here.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, so the last bit here, so let's go to the next one. You can see the rating of how women rated them. So, as you can see, I want you to pay attention to number one and number five here, in particular. So you can see, this is how women rated these five women as being most to least attractive. The Asian girl being least attractive there, and the white girl at the top there being the most attractive.
Really? Yeah. Women chose that ranking?
Women chose that ranking. Let's go to the next one.
Before we go on, what would you go for the ranking on that?
Certainly number one shouldn't be there, and number five shouldn't be there. Yeah. That's obvious. So let's go to the next one.
I think number four should be at number one.
Let's go to the next one. So you can see the men. This is how they chose them. And you can see the upset.
And I see number four is number two.
So number five has now become number one. That's like that. How wrong they got it. And also the girl who, basically, she was a massive B in all of this as well.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm so pretty. And then they ranked her down two places and she was not happy about it.
I mean, to be honest with you, I'd switch
number three, and four.
Three at number five and then put five and four up.
To be honest, I put three at five, put five at four, and four at three.
Three is just screaming issues to me.
Yeah.
Just no way.
But she was a massive B, as I essentially said as well, making her number one among the girls, because she essentially bullied them into being like, I'm pretty.
Yeah.
And all the other girls just like acquiesce. And I think
she's not very pretty.
No,
like, I think number two is easily the prettiest there.
All right. But yeah, it's another way of looking at it, I think.
Amazing.
Let's go to the video comments.
We recently had Pride Month in June, and in my town, we recently had another Pride Week going on.
God.
So I'm walking through town with my son, and he turns to me and he says, what about the other six deadly sins? When are we going to get Lust Month? Dirty beep.
I do love these children saying these things stories, but I never believe them.
Well, they already have Lust Month, don't they? It's the same month.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Pride and Lust.
Yeah.
Pride and Lust parades. Yeah. Should change with that.
And you've got the Black Lives Matter parades. They're the Wrath parades. Well, they're tearing down statues.
Fat acceptance comes through with gluttony parade.
Yeah. Yeah, there we are. I mean, literally, the left has embraced all of the seven deadly sins and made them their own. It's like, okay, good for you. I'm not going down that road.
Logos, part 405. In Christian mythology, Jesus Christ is the Logos. The Logos is God, truth itself. Christians are emboldened to be Christ-like and emulate him, to be God-like, to live as Logos. The principal act of God is the act of creation of the universe, and within it, life and beauty. In modern terms, this engagement with Logos might be described with the words invention, inspiration, innovation. If speaking in terms of freedom, Logos is the freedom for the creative act, building, creating, molding. What is described in the Bible as the founding act of God is the fullest state of humanity.
Okay, I finally understand Christianity. I finally understand what you're talking about. That's the bit that got it. Okay.
Because, I mean, that does make sense as well as to why the Western interpretation of freedom is not communistic.
Oh, it's not even that. It's why Christianity is, like, why Jesse Lee Peterson keeps going on about the Father and God being basically the same thing. And what they're saying is that God constructed an order to the world, and this was the Logos, and this is why Jordan Peterson's like, essentially, you're going to be the one who constructs the order of your world, therefore you have to adopt these same principles of operation if you want something to be built up rather than nothing to come to fruition. That's the mindset you have to get into. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Give the next one.
I've heard this several times, and it always goes too long. I'm sorry. This is deadly f***ing serious. We know that our cultural institutions are corrupt. The GameStop folks on Reddit and elsewhere discovered that finance is just as corrupt. We have to show them the answer is not socialism. That spawns the same corrupt elite, only much worse, and out in the open. This is an extremely powerful cultural force. $69,420,000 per share or not. It could be used for great good or great, great evil. Please, I'm appealing to the fundamentals of Carl, I just wanted to play video games Benjamin. Sargon of Akkad.
Gamergate doesn't have to be over. Maybe that was just the opening salvo.
Well, Gamergate is now the stocks and shares market.
Well, everything's Gamergate.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in open revolt against the left, then, well, welcome to the club. Hmm. God, what's this?
53% of mothers of transsexual children have borderline personality disorder.
They're using their children as fodder. They're just throwing these kids into the blender and saying, look at me.
And they want their body parts back, but somebody dumped them in the trash and they can't find them.
Children are not sexual.
Idiot.
You're abusing them and you're going to jail.
Without the encouragement of your father, man, the world is a dismal place.
He has to protect his children at all times from the mother and not allow the mother to destroy the children.
That's a great selection of clips. That's brilliant, actually.
Look at how funny Jesse Lee Peterson is.
He's amazing, isn't he? His delivery is just so blunt. And the thing is, when I was talking to him, he was trying to, like, yeah, well, I'm not very smart. It's like, Jesse, I've watched you talk to leftists. I know you are. You know, don't try and pull that with me. You know, it doesn't work.
Oh, bad.
He's great. He's really fantastic. Funny.
Let's talk subversive American comics. 2007, the then editor-in-chief Joe Quesada mandates the creation of Spider-Man One More Day. Previously, Peter revealed his identity to the world, causing Aunt May to be fatally shot. Peter then goes to Tony Stark and Doctor Strange, who both can't heal a bullet wound. Peter decides to make a deal with the devil to annul his marriage in order to save his aunt's life. In a twist, Mephisto reveals that Mary Jane was pregnant. In a flash, 30 years of comic history and Spider-Girl are retconned away. After over 10 years of the title being held hostage by a man-child named Dan Slott, look up his Twitter. In 2021, does it seem like Marvel is finally undoing this awful mistake?
Good. Undo awful mistakes. It's never too late. That's the important thing.
I'm just thinking about Fallout in my head. Like, all of Fallout 4 on 76, in my view, have to be purged.
Probably, yeah.
I'm just not happy.
Purged from canon, yeah.
Wasn't good enough.
Good afternoon, guys. And for you, Carl, happy birthday, man. Thank you so much for all the years of entertainment. Yeah, and this will be one of my last video comments, probably not forever, not the final one, but for a little while, because my fiance and I are trying to save money for a new house. And also, this Monday is a Labor Day. I'm pretty sure you guys don't have that out there in the UK, maybe. But for all the Yankees out there, in the words of the great Kamala Harris, enjoy the long weekend.
I think Labor Day for us is like May the 1st, isn't it?
It's called May Day in Europe.
Yeah. It's a communist holiday,
basically. We in Britain don't do it because we're not communists.
Yeah.
I know in Greece they do, which is weird. Yeah. Anyway, let's go for the Pines.
Mm-hmm. Also, Tony D and Little Joan here with another legend of the Pines, Ong's Hat, New Jersey. Ong is on the map of Google here. It survives as Ong's Hat Road and Ong's Hat Parking, but it's a ghost town. It doesn't exist anymore. Legend has it, a dandy threw his hat into a tree, and the locals started to refer to the place as Ong's Hat. I named the town in the Pineys book Abe's Hat as an homage to Ong. The last known inhabitant disappeared mysteriously in 1936.
I like the way the dog doesn't like this story.
I'm sorry, it's just like you can see Joan on both cams, and you can see Joe just being like, oi, pay attention. It's like, sorry, I completely missed the story. I was just enjoying the dog.
Let's go for the next one.
Apart from Ong's hat, I saw that bit.
Hello, Sargon and Callum. I love you guys' work. I was hoping that you could give a quick shout-out to my new book, The 98 by Malzi Prey. It is a 244-page sci-fi adventure story inspired partly by the British West Africa Squadron and partly by Treasure Planet. Mm. I'm very proud of it, and I feel like you and your fan base would enjoy it.
Right, well, there we go. Go check it out.
Based on Ben Shapiro's response to Afghanistan, he seems pretty pro-intervention, at least compared to the more America-first elements of the right. He calls himself a libertarian. I often question this self-description. But in this case, it's pretty clear the pro-intervention position is mutually exclusive with the libertarian ethos, and in particular, the non-aggression principle. Carl, Callum, do you think these two positions are compatible?
I think I know Ben's position, if I could take it.
I haven't actually been watching Ben for a while. So.
He spoke about this, I believe it was him who spoke about this before, which was with Bill Clinton as well. Bill Clinton's position being that we just won't go out in the world and there'll be no problems. And of course, no, the world is full of terrorists who hate the United States and will do everything they can to destroy it. And therefore, you need to go abroad and shut those things down before you get 9/11. Is his usual argument, at least I believe that was him that made the argument. So I imagine that's his perspective on Afghanistan. You know, we need to be there or go in to make sure it's over there and not over here. I don't agree.
I mean, you could construct an imperial libertarian position, which basically was kind of the British position. Foreigners are doing terrible things and we've got to stop it.
They're violating the NAP by plotting to kill us. So we need to preemptively go.
You'd be like, well, foreigners are burning women alive and, you know, enslaving people stuff like that.
That wasn't Ben's argument. Ben was never based
I'm not saying it is. What I'm saying is you could get like a kind of imperial libertarian argument where it's just like, no, we're not happy with you doing that and we're going to make you stop. You know, and so, you know.
I think Ben's
even unsympathetic to that position, to be honest.
Being British.
Yeah, exactly, being British. Like, whoa,
I think Ben's is a little more American, which is just that, you know, some guys, Al-Qaeda, are in Sudan plotting, we should bomb them. You know, that kind of thing.
I mean, I'm not a libertarian, so, you know,
but
I don't hold strictly to it. Although, you know, obviously I've got very libertarian sympathies and morally, and, you know.
Are they compatible? Maybe. Is Ben's position the right one? I don't know, but not for me.
But you definitely could synthesize a libertarian position that had interventionist elements, but it would be along certain lines, and it would be.
I love the chat. So you're describing like we need to go and sort the foreigners out. Savages, barely even human.
Well, they're definitely human, and that's why it matters. If it was a bunch of animals doing it to each other, who cares? You know, animals do all things all over to me. No, it's because they're human.
We've seen the EU form meme.
There's a particular way things should be done.
I'll send you that.
No. But anyway, abortion outrage. Kevin Fox. Unfortunately for some women, abortion is their birth control of choice. Yeah, it's awful. Even in the UK. I worked in a surgery many years ago where we had one female who had 4 abortions in 1 year. She came in for the 5th time and the doctor refused to send her for another abortion. As a result, she ended up losing her job and had the baby. She was military at the time and pregnancy was discharged from service. Well, honestly, right. So in the video that's going to be coming out later on this afternoon, she should be thankful that she, after 4 abortions, she could have babies because it does affect the chances of you getting pregnant in the future. So, you know, careful. Catastrophic regression threshold says, morning guys, on Texas I generally fall on the side of safe and rare as far as abortion goes. Well, welcome to the club. Though I can't agree with the Texas law on this, they left out exceptions for rape and incest. And there are problems with the use of heartbeat to declare the fetus alive, as the heart is one of the first things that develops before any semblance of cognition exists. Therefore there needs to be a line beyond which abortion isn't allowed, and I don't think this is it. I think the good point is for the exceptions of rape and incest. I actually do think that's a fair, you know, exception to carve out. But I think that the heartbeat is actually a fairly reliable method of checking to see if something is alive. Even if it's not cognizant, I don't think that matters. You know, we don't just kill people who are in comas, you know.
The Nazis did.
Well, okay, maybe the Nazis did, but that's probably one reason why we shouldn't. And so it's not, you know, we don't just kill people just because they're not cognizant of things. I don't think that should be the standard. Again, I fear that we're going into deeply leftist territory when we start saying, well, if I can't, you know, observe it thinking, then it's not even a person. So hang on a second, you know, this is,
that's why I mentioned the Nazis.
Yeah, exactly. I do agree there should definitely be exemptions for rape and incest, which is completely fair, I think. Robert says, the abortion interview with the witch, by justifying abortion by saying it's okay because babies are parasites who can't feed themselves. She's also successfully argued for killing all people who can't feed themselves, like Down syndrome, retards, people in comas, old people with severe Alzheimer's, and even children who aren't tall enough to open the fridge. Yeah, I mean, even herself, if she was made unemployed or something like that. Unemployed, can't afford food. Exactly, you know. Okay. So it's an awful position. Awful position. Morally reprehensible and untenable. Josh says, Carl, I know a woman who thinks in the same way as that awful lady on GB News about how babies are parasites. However, she's in no way a leftist. If anything, I believe she's scared of the pain of childbirth and the responsibility of motherhood. Is there any way I can argue her out of this destructive idea of children? Yes, but we don't have time for me to talk about it now, but remind me. I will definitely talk to you about this, because basically you have to fall back on actually think about it as a growing experience. You're only afraid of something until you've tried it, and then you realize actually everyone else has done this. This is not as difficult as it made out. The fear was in your own head. Henry says, a woman's right and choice to, woman's right and a woman's choice always ignores uncomfortable truth that everyone is alive today because their mother didn't choose to abort them. Equally, free abortion isn't free, it's taxpayer funded, so why shouldn't a male taxpayer have an opinion on what their money is being spent on? Ooh, that's another penny in the jar. I should have thought of that. Good point. That's a good point. If I'm being taxed for it, I'm going to have an opinion on it, and yeah. I have a right to.
Planned Parenthood still steals taxpayers' money.
That's right. Alexander says, of course, on the Texas abortion outrage, the Twitterati have forgotten that by far the majority of abortions in the US are of black babies by single mothers. And you could describe that as racist, couldn't you?
Yeah, black nationalists do.
Yes, exactly. In 2008, black to white abortions were something wrong. That's the thing. 5-1 ratio. Republicans are preventing a kind of holocaust again of black children because they are so racist and sexist. Good point.
But also the lady who set all this up
was a eugenicist who hated black people.
I'd like to remove the blacks. That was her animating principle. So it's like, doesn't come from nowhere.
I mean, it makes you wonder why the black population has been 13% for such a long time, doesn't it? ASC, we've raised $185,000 for Texas to have an abortion. But what about all the residents in your district who have had their lives destroyed by a hurricane? We gave them a phone call. Eesh. Matt says, that's Democrats, well, she's got Twitter to worry about, you see. That's her real constituency. Democrats are pushing abortion up to birth because they want a life without consequences. And that's exactly what it is. They want to have no consequences imposed on them by their own actions. Yanalis says, abortion-wise, I would agree that it's immoral to abort a baby. However, if there is a risk to the mother's life due to pregnancy, then I can see, yes. This is one of the things I touch on in the video that's going up later. Basically, if it's not something you have a choice over, then you can't be held morally responsible for it. And yeah, exactly. If there's something that's going to kill you, then okay, you've got a right to do something about it, even if that means an abortion, which is the lesser of two evils in this circumstance. But note, we're balancing evils. We're not saying, have an abortion. It's like, no, we're not doing that. That's awful. But I do agree with you on that. Harry G-Man says, women are infants, can't be prudent with their lives and take responsibility for their actions. That's right, I'm a leftist. That's what their position is. That's what the left-wing position is. I agree with conservative women that they can take responsibility.
Do you see AOC's tweet about the responsibility of black and brown women?
No.
She tweeted, what was it? Imagine if we held everyone to the same standards that we hold black and brown women for a day. Yeah, the responses are what you would expect.
Would like to see the responses, actually.
A lot of statistics.
And on that bombshell...
it's time to end the show. If you'd like more from us, go to lotuseaters.com and please subscribe. That's how we keep the show running. Otherwise, we'll have stuff going up over the weekend. And on Monday, we'll be back on Monday, 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.